If the citizen were really poor, he might have a small stall or a booth in the agora. He might be a tinsmith or a coppersmith or a potter. And right next to him, he might have one or two slaves working with him. And then, if possible, when he got old and infirm, he would live off the earnings of that little trade shop being run for him by his slave. And, of course, in the private household, women, as we've already seen from Xenophon's advice involving the household economy, the economicus, we've already seen there that private households had female slaves performing all the various functions alongside their mistress of spinning, weaving, cooking, cleaning, and so forth. In addition to the presence of Athenian slaves at virtually every level of household activity and associated with both citizen men and women, the Athenian state also owned slaves as well. And they would lease slaves sometimes from wealthy citizens. These public slaves were put to work in a variety of ways serving the community. They might serve menial tasks, such as, for example, cleaning the streets, removing refuse or dung. Others would assist public officials. We've already noticed that the Athenian system tended to rely on an annual rotation of magistrates, and so it's quite probably the case that minor clerical functions were carried on by slaves, giving some continuity to the administration of the government, performing as a kind of minor civil service, if you will. By far the worst possible work that a slave could end up doing was to be a miner in the silver mines at Laurion. The Athenian state and its wealthiest citizens relied on revenues from these silver mines in southern Attica, and slaves who worked here were working under the most grueling and dangerous conditions. You can visit the galleries of those mines still today, and it is quite frightening to go into them and to imagine that men were in there working in the 5th and the 4th century. Outside the city, outside the private households, and apart from these government or public slaves, as I've talked about, there were also slaves working in the agricultural sector. Farmers relied on slave labour for every aspect of the rural economy. They were sent out to watch herds and flocks. In the Oedipus, for example, some of the speeches are given by shepherds who've been out on Mount Kithairon, and we find that they are in fact slaves owned by the king, taking care of his flocks for him. And of course then in the fields they also worked harvesting crops, stamping the grapes, picking the olives, the whole range of basically any commercial or agricultural activity that you can imagine in Athens was performed by slaves. Now, we know that they are ubiquitous, and we know that they're there from the earliest stages of Greek history. What we have not, however, is slave narratives in their own voices. Nor is there any abolitionist literature in which the conditions of slaves may be laid out in order to try to activate a resistance to slavery. We have no memoirs written by Greek or Roman slaves. We have only casual references in our ancient sources. For example, one of the Platonic dialogues begins with a character who is supposed to have just come back into town. He's been out in the country chasing after a runaway slave. We should keep this in mind, I think. I raise this because it's important to recognize that while slavery was ubiquitous in the Greek world, we are reconstructing our understanding of slavery and the slave experience entirely through the eyes of that literate class of slave owners, that class that wrote the literature of the ancient world. I think we can say that there was, in fact, a causal connection between the existence of slavery and the democracy. And we can explore it in this way. The democracy depended on a Greek principle of autarky, which means self-rule, a kind of autonomy. And in the case of the democracy, this principle was extended to the broadest number of citizens possible. In other words, the democracy was made up of the greatest number of men who existed in a condition of autarky, of being self-sufficient. Now, this self-sufficiency means something quite real. Assemblies and jury service, all these activities which make the democracy real, take time.